This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
We have our eyes just as dead set on the Capitol as all of the reporters in Tallahassee, and I think we've done a pretty great job of keeping legislators accountable.
The University of Florida College of Journalism and Communications recently launched Fresh Take Florida, an effort to provide coverage of Florida state government by student journalists, all graduating seniors, at a time when newsrooms across the country are shrinking and state capitals are increasingly undercovered.
That fresh take, that fresh set of eyes that we have is something that's really valuable and I think has opened a lot of gateways to bigger stories and bigger curiosities that people are now looking at.
But these student journalists, six of them, with their fresh eyes on the process, are experiencing some of the rough and tumbles of the Rotunda, drawing criticisms from entrenched Capitol insiders.
People on Twitter, whether it was people that were criticizing us, they use that as a label, as sort of, you know, what do these students know about the state and what do they know about state government? And I was actually blown away by the amount of support that we had.
On this week's episode, we're going to get a fresh perspective from the award-winning students from the University of Florida College of Journalism and Communication, where I serve as an advisory council member. Plus, Florida lawmakers are trying to make it harder for citizen ballot initiatives. Opponents are speaking out.
The legislature is being very smart and not simply asking the voters to strike that provision from our Constitution that allows for this assistance initiative, because they understand that the people wouldn't agree to that. So what they're doing instead, it's death by a thousand paper cuts.
All that and so much more coming up in episode 165 of The Rotunda.
The past couple of weeks are showing once again just how tough the business of news is right now, with layoffs by digital upstarts and by the country's largest newspaper chain, Gannett.
That's a clip from PBS NewsHour announcing massive layoffs at established newspaper chains.
All of this has led to the growth of so-called news deserts, places where there is limited access to news outlets.
Just a couple of weeks ago, the Tallahassee Democrat announced it was closing its production facilities in May, sending some 46 employees on the job market. And just last week, Radio Rick, Rick Flagg of iHeartMedia, announced on Twitter that he was a victim of more layoffs at iHeartMedia. But leave it to Rick to share this silver lining. Quote, "I don't have to cover the remainder of the 2019 legislative session." End quote. Always a bit of snark and humor from veteran journalist Rick Flagg, my radio brethren, has been dropped from covering the legislature. All of that experience out the door. News like this is way too common, unfortunately, and we've covered the comings and goings right here on this program of many journalists like Rick. As an advisory council member at the University of Florida College of Journalism and Communications, I spend a couple of days each semester mentoring, sharing advice, and helping students jumpstart their professional careers across the genres in the field of communications. During my recent visit, I had the opportunity to catch up with a couple of students, Katie Campione and Max Chesness, who are becoming familiar faces around the Capitol, at least especially this legislative session.
So welcome to the Rotunda. I am here at my old stomping ground, and it's so nice to be here in this brand new, refurbished, innovative facility that you guys are enjoying because we didn't have any of this when we were here. So let's jump in. Name, and for those who are listening, tell me what you do and just some background.
Katie Campione, journalism senior. For Fresh Take Florida, I pretty much jump around, cover whatever needs to be covered, but my interests lie in civil liberties, so that's what I've been trying to target the most.
My name is Max Chesness. I am a journalism and sustainability studies senior here at the University of Florida. I cover all things environment for the legislative session. Obviously, it's been a very big year for the environment with DeSantis's new goals for the environmental legislation happening. So I will take on, and I have taken on, all sorts of environmental legislation this session.
Fresh Take Florida, a fresh take. Tell us about Fresh Take. What is it all about?
So I think that one of the advantages that we have is that we all went into the legislative session never having covered it before, and it was a learning curve, but it also gave us the advantage of being able to look at this session with fresh eyes and see a lot of things that even our professors might not have seen in the same way. And it's allowed us to cover the session in a pretty unique way. So I think that the Fresh Take Florida is a really great name for us because we've been able to be pretty unique with our coverage.
Yeah, like Katie was saying, I think the origin of the name Fresh Take just comes from the entire organization and our sort of, you know, we don't have any ties to any organization or any sort of strict guidelines. And so we have a lot of freedom in what we want to report on. We don't have any quota or any sort of set daily stories that we have to push out that limit us from our deeper investigations and reporting. And so that really has been a large advantage to us throughout the entire session because we can focus on what we think is important for the readers and what we think the state needs to know as a whole, and we can really hone in on what we think is worthy of our time and reporting, and that's really opened the door to a lot of really powerful stories throughout the entire session.
So I've been covering the legislative session for over a decade now, and it's interesting to hear, and this is why we're doing this interview now, I wanted to see what you guys think about the process and what have you discovered so far? What has been interesting so far about covering the Florida legislature?
So we were pretty much warned at the beginning that there are rules, but they go out the window during session. And I think that nothing has been more true. It's just whatever is happening that day, you're never going to expect, especially with Florida politics, you're never going to expect what's going to come out of that day of session. So it's been fun and challenging to cover the Florida session because I think that just every day the legislators just have a new curveball to throw. And so it's pretty fun.
Yeah, going off of that, like Katie said, there's just it's completely unexpected. No matter what you might think you might be covering one day, it might just be flipped on its head entirely. A lot of big announcements are held really early in the morning, and that's on purpose so that a lot of people aren't necessarily in the room for that. And so we've sort of been tailored to picking up on the fact that, you know, no matter what, keep your head on a swivel, make sure that you are ready to report on anything, and keep your eyes open at all times because Florida is a capital for crazy politics, especially crazy political stories. And so just being prepared for that is something that we heard about going into session, and I think it's entirely true now is seeing that, you know, they'll throw things on the wall and see what sticks, and we're just ready to sit back and report on that.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramel Gomes chatting with
Katie Campione and Max Chesnut,
student journalists at the University of Florida's Fresh Take Florida, where the students will be working on stories and producing them in partnership with several media outlets. The stories will appear on WUFT News, which is WUFT.org. A couple of weeks ago, an influencer in Florida politics called out the students on their efforts to cover the process. The influencer has since apologized, but some have wondered whether students can and should cover the legislative process. For a quick answer, yes, they can. And yes, they should. But let's hear from the students themselves.
Now, I have been an advocate for getting more people, get more eyeballs on the Capitol in Tallahassee, in those committee meetings, get the citizens to see what's going on instead of protesting after a bill becomes law and it's so hard for them to overturn it because they didn't realize what was going on. But you guys walked into some controversy over Twitter recently with your fresh eyes as to why you guys should be allowed to cover the legislature. What are your thoughts? What was going on?
I mean, I guess I get the point that was being made that it's just a little disheartening to see the Tallahassee bureaus of so many newspapers dwindled to the point where there aren't enough professional reporters to cover what's going on. I can see that perspective, but also working on this team, we have our eyes just as dead set on the Capitol as all of the reporters in Tallahassee, and I think we've done a pretty great job of keeping legislators accountable. And so I think that most of us are seniors, most of us are graduating in 3.5 weeks, and we'll be out there with the rest of the professional reporters. So I don't see any disadvantage to us covering the Capitol.
I think there were two key points in that discussion on Twitter a few weeks ago. The first was just the institution itself of journalism and how resources have sort of been stripped from a lot of political reporters. And so I think at the underlying, you know, groundwork of the entire discussion was, you know, we've resulted to students being the ones in charge of this legislature or looking at political reporting in general. So that was one key point that was sort of circulating the internet. But the second point was we had a lot of really great support from people. And I think the fact that we were students, people on Twitter, whether it was people that were criticizing us, they use that as a label as sort of, you know, what do these students know about the state and what do they know about state government? And I was actually blown away by the amount of support that we had. I think it was maybe 99% supportive of us and our work. And, you know, maybe the 1% that was vocal was saying that, you know, we don't know what we're doing. We're not used to the fast pace of it. But a lot of people were really vocal about how the work we're doing is impactful. It's important to journalism. And we are elevating journalism, at least in the state of Florida, from a university standpoint and from a professional standpoint. And so seeing that outlined on Twitter and seeing the support that we had was powerful to us. I think it gave us, you know, more fire to work with and more inspiration to keep going, you know, full steam ahead.
So what do you know for those critics? What do you know about the process so far?
That's a pretty tough question. I think we're still learning. I think it'll take more than one session for us to fully understand the process. One thing that I do know, and it relates back to the last question, was that we don't have the nuance of having covered the session for 25 years and can think back historically to how this session relates to other sessions. But I do know people who have that perspective, and they're open to speaking to me anytime and giving me that context. What those people might not have that I do have is the ability, like I said, to look at the session from a new perspective and why is this happening? And it's something that's pretty standard, but nobody ever thinks to question it anymore because it's just a standard that's been there. It's just part of the process. It's what they do, but nobody thinks to question it anymore. And I think that we've seen that a lot in our meetings. We'll question things that are pretty standard, and it makes everybody kind of stop and think, oh, well, why is that standard? And that's been pretty cool to see as well.
Yeah. What about you?
Right. We don't have an ingrained sort of systematic approach to session because, like Katie said, we are being thrown into it head first. And so I think that really has come to our benefit in a lot of regards because we really are approaching everything with a series of questions. You know, is this normal? Is this something we should be expecting for session? And that sort of questioning is something that you might lose once you become so familiar with session, whether it's 10 years, 20 years. And so that fresh take, that fresh set of eyes that we have is something that's really valuable and I think has opened a lot of gateways to bigger stories and bigger curiosities that people are now looking at.
I've always said, like, when I first heard about Fresh Take, and even before Fresh Take, when I was always doing my own, pounding my fist in the desk, like, why aren't students here driving up to the Capitol? It's just a couple of hours, like how I used to have to go on down to Ocala to get my stories. Like, why aren't they getting up there with their cameras and covering the process? And I think you guys bring in a quality that, for the criticisms that you've received, which is, oh, you guys don't know what you're doing, it disarms folks like the governor and legislative leaders of where they may dismiss you, and that's where you have the benefit and the ability to go in there with those questions that catches them off guard, and you get those off-the-cuff, unprepared, unscripted, no talking point responses. So I see a definite value for Fresh Take and what you guys do. And we need more eyes, not less, and not to criticize those who are finally showing an interest in the process.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. Please send your generous financial contributions to rotundapodcast.com. It helps us to extend our reach. This program is featured on newspaper websites throughout Florida, and we couldn't do it without your support. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, at Rotunda Podcast, and on Facebook. Feel free to send us your tips and story ideas. And as always, thanks for your support. Welcome back to the program. I'm chatting with Katie Campione and Matt Chesnas, student journalists, covering Florida's legislative session for Fresh Take Florida.
What do you find that's interesting or fun about the process?
I mean, I think the whole process has been pretty enjoyable. It's been fun. Like I said, you literally have no idea what's going to get thrown at you, and I think that's always a cool part of it. I think that just understanding the process, I think a lot of young people don't really pay attention, like you said, to the actual process of how these laws are being made, and they will protest after it's become law and it's harder to get it reversed. And so I think having eyes on the entire process and seeing before the session even started, these laws start developing and seeing how they're moving toward the governor's desk is something that a lot more young people should be focusing on. And I think that the fact that the college is pushing it now, even though there's just six of us, I think it's made it more of a priority among the entire college. I've seen reporters that are not involved with Fresh Take Florida take more of an interest in the Capitol and start reporting more on what's happening in Tallahassee. And I think it's just overall really beneficial for us because it's just getting us more involved with the legislative process in a way that we haven't really in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think one of the most important things I've learned is that when all the eyes are focused on one thing, a lot of stuff gets swept under the rug. And so a really important lesson that I've learned is to sort of go against the river, to swim against the river. And sometimes you'll find a lot of really unique stories that emerge. And so I think, like, for environment, for instance, a lot of people are focusing on fracking and water and things like that. But there's a whole slew of environmental bills that are being proposed that aren't being reported on at all, that people should know about. And so focusing on those bills while others are focusing on the larger water issues and development issues in the state is really important, because you'll find a lot of really powerful stories there, and stories that lend themselves to a lot of action. And so just going against the grain and finding stories and sources and ideas, whether they're environmental or educational, you do find a lot of really great, rich material looking through these bills that aren't reported on at all. And that's something that I will take with me throughout my entire career.
Are you guys encountering any issues or problems getting these officials to talk to you when you make your requests?
I think we did in the beginning. I think nobody really took us seriously. Like, what are these student reporters doing up here? But I think as soon as our coverage started, we had a couple big swings right out of the gate, and it kind of made everybody stop and think and start to take us more seriously. So I don't think access is so much an issue for us anymore, and more so than it would be for any other Tallahassee reporter. But I think that was important for us to kind of establish our ground in Tallahassee and say, like, yeah, we might be students, but we know what we're doing, and we have the ability to take as big a swings as anybody else in the Capitol. So, yeah, I think that process in the beginning was a little tough, but I think we've gotten over the hump with that.
What were some of those stories?
Oh, geez. At first, at least personally, I wrote about a proposed ban on chumming off of the beaches of Florida. And this caused a huge stink between anglers, between environmentalists in the state. And so sort of collecting all of those perspectives into one story and writing about how chumming would be banned from beaches, ultimately helping sharks, ultimately helping swimmers and anglers as well, was a story that really opened the eyes to a lot of people in the state. And when we can, slap a story down in front of people, whether they're environmentalists or legislators, and say, this is what we're doing, this is what we're writing about, and here's the impact that it's making, it adds a lot of legitimacy to the work that we're doing. And so, like Katie was saying, at first we had these serious roadblocks where, we were approaching sources with the fact that we were students looking for stories, and we're definitely met with a lot of radio silence on the other end. But now that we have this name established, Fresh Take Florida, and the fact that we have definitely built up a reputation in the Capitol, it's definitely helped our case, and people are a lot more willing to speak with us now. So,
yeah. I want to know, for students here on campus and other campuses and other young folks in general, why aren't they paying attention to their legislatures and legislators and state politics? Or are they? Let me know. From my standpoint, I'm like, they don't know what's happening in Tallahassee.
Yeah, and I don't think that they do. That could be a lot of things. I mean, the process, like, it is really complicated to understand, and it's super nuanced, and I think a lot of young people just don't really see the importance in understanding that nuances. They think, well, it's going to become law, and then I'll pay attention to it, and they don't really understand how impactful it can be to be involved in the process.
I will say, with the exception, because I'm just thinking about it, mm-hmm. With the tragedy in Parkland, mm-hmm. and I think that was a spike in youth yeah. involvement. Absolutely. In figuring out what was going on in Tallahassee.
Yeah, you get these big sparks, and it'll be this one issue that people will be super passionate about. But there's so many more little things going on that I think young people would be super interested in from an accountability standpoint that they just aren't paying attention to because it's not the big thing. And so obviously the tragedy in Parkland made young people really interested in making sure that gun laws in Florida were up to the standards that they thought they needed to be up to. But you have, I mean, gun control is such a small portion of the legislation that's getting passed this session. So thinking about all the rest of the legislation and the impact that could have on young people in the state of Florida, I think that, like I said, they just don't realize necessarily how much legislation is there to impact them.
Same question to you, and how do you get their attention?
It's an unfortunate reality that it takes, you know, a mass tragedy to really inspire a link or a desire to really learn about politics. I think a lot of times younger students are focused nationally, on a national scale. It's really easy to pick up on news that is happening on a, you know, national, global scale, but when it's right in front of your own face, it's really hard to kind of hone in on it. And so I think that sort of at the origin of that, it's an institutional issue. I think we need to be, at least whether it's journalism or, you know, politics or anything in education, we need to start learning about how state legislature works, about how it affects our daily lives every single day, whether that's, you know, elementary school, high school, even in college, just exposing ourselves more to the state legislature, how things are happening, because it really is, it's a microcosm for national politics, even global issues as well. And so, you know, once you have issues that affect you personally, that's when your eyes start looking towards politics. And so when something like Parkland happens, you know, it affects every single person in the state, no matter who you are. And, you know, all the eyes are in all the ears have immediately turned towards the state politics because that's what makes the local impact. And so when events like that happen, yeah, it really does spark a lot of interest. And I think just moving forward, we need to, you know, feed off of this interest and essentially analyze or emphasize the fact that, you know, local government, state government changes our lives every single day, and we need to really turn our heads toward it.
Well, you guys, we can sit here and talk forever. I just want to know, as we wrap up, as we look at the future of journalism, what's attracting you in this career, in this profession? Why are you pursuing a career in journalism?
I mean, I've always been the type of person who just likes to learn. I like to understand things, even if it doesn't apply to my daily life, even if it's not what I'm studying necessarily. I think journalism is such a cool profession because you get to learn something new every single day about an completely different topic than what you were learning about the day before. And it gives you the ability to take these deep dives into issues and then inform the public in a way that they had no idea about. I just enjoy the accountability aspect, the ability to just take these deep dives into topics that I had no idea about and come out of it with something new. It informs me as a person. I think it helps society. And I just think journalism is an exciting and cool and challenging profession, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I think it's just a constant exposure to learning and knowledge, and every single day is going to be something completely new than the day before. I personally am really inspired by the flack that journalists get, or just, you know, on a national scale, journalists have been attacked recently as, you know, sort of being undermined and that their, you know, their profession is not necessary. But I think it's a large fire that I think it really inspires us to do really great work, because if not us, then who? You know, there's no one out there that can tell these stories other than really, you know, powerful professional journalists. And I think that now more than ever, there is a need for really good quality journalism.
Yeah. So where do we find Fresh Take Florida? How do we follow these stories?
Yeah, so you can find us on Twitter at WFT Capital. Our follower count has grown significantly since we started, which is really it's inspiring to see. And you can keep up with us. A lot of our stories are published on the Associated Press Wire. Twitter is definitely the place to go for all of our story updates, for sure.
All right.
Yeah, you can also find us on WFT News. They publish a lot of our stories. We have our own, like, sidebar that's just Fresh Take Florida, so you can find usually most of our stories under there as well.
Well, you partner with a really big, robust outlet, AP, the Associated mm-hmm. Press, so yeah.
Absolutely.
This is no small potatoes.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We've been really lucky, and we really are grateful for it.
All right. Well, thank you for taking this time to speak with me. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
A sincere thanks to Katie Campione and Max Chesness at Fresh Take Florida. As we wrap up this week, the Florida legislature is considering bills that would restrict grassroots citizen engagement.
And it's really just designed to ensure that citizens won't have a voice, and the last vestige of direct democracy that we have in the state would cease to exist.
For decades, Floridians have used the citizen initiative process to let voters decide, often when the legislature fails to act. The process has resulted in constitutional amendments to restore the voting rights of some Floridians with prior felony convictions, among other amendments. Republicans behind House Bill 7111 and Senate Bill 7096 have criticized paid signature gatherers, but Aliki Moncrief with Florida Conservation Voters say they've been an essential tool after their volunteers gathered 250,000 signatures to get the Water and Land Conservation Amendment on the ballot because Florida's process had become too complex.
If we had not been able to reach out and bring professional signature gatherers to augment our efforts, we would not have made it to the ballot, and we would not have now required the legislature to set aside funding for conservation.
Republicans have long argued the Constitution is a sacred document and should be difficult to amend, but citizen groups say those efforts are silencing citizens by infringing on their First Amendment rights. Rich Templin with the Florida AFL-CIO claims the bills are part of a long-running campaign by business groups upset over a 2004 constitutional amendment which raised the state's minimum wage by $1 to $6.15 an hour. If passed, the bills would now require interested parties to file position statements in favor of or against a proposal, invalidate all signatures if a petition gatherer is found ineligible, and include a ruling from the Florida State Supreme Court determining whether the proposal can be done through the legislature instead of a change to the Constitution.
The legislature is being very smart and not simply asking the voters to strike that provision from our Constitution that allows for this assistance initiative, because they understand that the people wouldn't agree to that. So what they're doing instead, it's death by 1,000 paper cuts.
There is still a 60% threshold for voters to pass a constitutional amendment. The change, if passed, would impact several proposals slated for the 2020 ballot, including amendments to ban assault weapons, expand Medicaid, and, once again, raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Special thanks to the students at Fresh Take Florida. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.